This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we have on us Dennis Halnan. He's one of the employee owners of Tab. Comes in and helps me out. And speaking of helping us out, we have our friend Wes Bryan from IT Pro TV on the line. And let me see if I can get Wes on the line here. You there, Wes?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good, sir. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Good to hear from you all.
Yeah, you too. And you should see him on the old, there he is on the old Facebooks as well. I can tell he's broadcasting with us. So we haven't checked in a while, Wes, and AI is everywhere.
Yes, it is. It sure is.
Whether it's actual intelligence or not, we have to discuss. But AI, what's your feeling on AI over there at IT Pro TV? Are you guys doing anything with training? Are you guys incorporating it in any way, shape, or form with what you do? Do you have any comments or thoughts on it?
Well, we're doing a bit of both. I would say we're doing all of the above. It looks like it's going to be something it's not going away. I definitely have my reservations about it. We're going to jump into talking about that. But it is absolutely everywhere. We're leveraging it for things like helping to assist in things like content creation, which is really good, and other things too. A lot of exciting things. But it definitely has some scariness behind it, but also has a lot of great things too. You know, we were out at RSA a few weeks back, and man, I have to tell you, it was everywhere. It's everything that people were talking about on the floor. And you know, with RSA being cybersecurity driven, you know, they're leveraging it to do all kinds of things. You know, endpoint detection and response, fancy term for mobile devices, all kinds of devices that we connect to our company and corporate networks, and then we can find when things go bad, not so good, and be able to respond to that. But they're also doing, you know, AI-driven EDR, you know, to protect these devices.
Right.
And just all kinds of things.
So you won't even need a body. Like, you won't need that knock anymore. You'll use the AI to decide whether or not what it sees is worthy of locking down or not.
Yeah. I'm very reserved about it, just because that seems a lot of responsibility. It's definitely, I've seen instances where it could potentially just completely replace humans by recreating them in a 3D sense, where you know that's replacing an instructor.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, without all the doom and gloom, let's face it, there are some good things certainly about it, right? You know, and if just to kind of, you know, for the audience to break it down very basically, you hear all these terms and all these buzzwords, right? AI, you hear ML, machine learning, you hear deep learning, right? Well, what does all this mean? We've kind of touched base on it before, but Think about your nesting dolls. AI is the bigger package, right? Machine learning is a functionality. It's a model, a subset of AI. Mm-hmm. And then you could think of things like deep learning as a subset of machine learning, where we're using complex algorithms to make decisions. But one of the things that I really like about it is that we have to have a responsibility behind it, because there needs to be a responsible design, let's face it, like some of the things that I'm learning, like, for instance, within Microsoft is Microsoft, and this needs to be every company. This just happens to be how they address it. Azure, Amazon, they address it their own way, and I'm sure GCP does too. But they have, for instance, they have their guiding principles. Mm-hmm. Of responsible AI. We've seen things like this in the past where Microsoft puts up 10 immutable laws of security, right? And they stick around for a while.
Yeah.
It should be fairness, inclusiveness, privacy and security, transparency, reliability, and safety, and accountability. But let's talk about those if we could. You know, what does that actually mean, right? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of words, right? Well, if you think about fairness, and this really should be all systems, right? Fairness is about biased identification and mitigation, right? Mm-hmm. All FX, all solutions should be treated, you should treat everybody, equal, right? The
yep.
solution should be equal to all,
yep.
right? And inclusiveness, right? And we're not talking about a select few. AI solutions need to work for everyone, and they're not the same. I know that some people think, well, fairness and inclusiveness, they're the same thing. No, they're not. I can be not inclusive and say there is a select few, only the people that have all the money in the world can have access to the AI systems. Is it inclusive? Or is it fair? Well, to that select few, it's fair, but it certainly isn't inclusive, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to have both.
Mm-hmm.
And what are the challenges that, inclusiveness? Think about speech recognition, right?
Yep.
We've got a lot of people in the United States and around the world, really, that AI could be a good solution. It can empower them. People that maybe have a speech impediment, people that, can't talk well, how they can do text-to-speech software or real-time speech recognition that can help somebody with a disability and empower them through predictive typing and speaking mm-hmm. to improve their productivity, right? Yeah. Well, that's good, but it shouldn't just benefit that. One solution can benefit a lot of people, mm-hmm. And then yeah. here's the ones that I really, they put these in different orders. I put them in the order that I feel that they're important, mm-hmm. regardless of what they feel. The next one is privacy, right? Mm-hmm. Privacy, eliminating data exposure. I don't have to tell you, you all been doing this for a long time. It's one of the biggest challenges we face.
Yes.
And you can say data exposure through any circumstance. I don't care if it's compliance and regulation, but how does the AI system collect your information? How does it process your information? How does it utilize that information? And where is it stored?
Right.
Right. Those are all things we have to think about, right? Storage goes offline, a business goes under. Mm-hmm. So far, makes sense.
I
don't want to monopolize
Definitely.
The time.
No, it makes sense.
But transparency, right? Now, they put transparency, a little bit farther up in the list, but I switch these around. Privacy and security first, because the first three focus on the customers.
Mm-hmm.
That's who is utilizing these solutions.
Right.
All right. Now, the next two, I'm going to turn the focus on the people that are building the solutions. And I'm not just talking about people like Microsoft and Amazon and GCP, the people that rely or that provide these services, OpenAI, ChatGPT, that are very scalable. I'm talking about the people that leverage those systems and implement solutions based on those systems.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have that transparency, fairness, inclusiveness, right? They have to form the bedrock of that transparency. And we have to have meaningful explanations of what the AI architecture is and how does the system operate?
Yeah.
Right. We have to have those as open books. If you're going to, let's think about it, right? They can potentially and will be and are making decisions that affect lives, right? And yeah. that's where the next one kind of comes into it, reliability and safety, right? We have to eliminate errors, right? We have unanticipated outcomes. Regardless, as a personal IT, in IT,
yep.
I think about the customers and the end users first, right? I don't care what the circumstances are, and I certainly don't care what the conditions are. And that could be manipulation as well.
Right.
Are they verifiable, trustworthy systems? Well, that means it's going to be a lot of rigorous testing during the system development, right? And we know in any system, and I know you all support a lot of different systems, that there could mm-hmm. be what's known as system evolution sprawl, right? We implemented this for this certain purpose, but as it's grown, it's no longer serving that purpose, right? So are there checks and balances to make sure that these things that can make unsupervised decisions through deep neural networks, which is just a fancy term for a bunch of algorithms, I know it's oversimplification, but that's what it is,
Do
they operate as intended, right?
Yep.
Now, lastly, if I could.
Sure.
Accountability. Last one. Accountability. AI designers, kind of like I said, they need to be liable for the outcomes of the systems that they create, right? So now we're focusing, what are you going to do if something goes wrong, right? Mm-hmm. Think about things like predictive analysis. We know with smart cars, when everybody said that there are going to be self-driving cars, I don't know about you, but I said, oh, I'm not getting in one of those, right? Well, think of predictive analysis and operational changes that are made in real time.
Right.
Transportation, you all have fleets in the field, telemetry data, and they make a decision. Or this system uses some algorithm, and it makes a decision to make a right turn at a dead end.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no right turn.
Right.
Right. So, again, thinking back to all of those principles, who puts it in place? So, I have a kind of a love-hate relationship with it. I don't hate it.
Yeah.
But there needs to be checks and balances. We're relying on things that are in other people's hands. And at the end of the day, what happens if those hands break?
All great points, Wes. All great points. So
definitely.
For me, now apply that to COVID. So the approach our politicians took had none of those rules in place. And they made all sorts of decisions and did all sorts of crazy things to us. Now, you want the AI to do all the things you just enumerated, and I completely agree with everything you said.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if we could apply that to politicians. And then you ask yourself, if we can get the AI to actually line up those enumerated lists that you gave, we don't need the politicians anymore. We're actually going to get a better result, right? Because when you have – so the whole oddity of this is we want humans to make sure AI is controlled. I would contend we do not want the humans involved because when they are involved, they screw it up every time. At least that's my experience, and you can go back through history. Imagine if – I'm a Star Trek fan. Imagine if you could find an AI that did everything you just enumerated and it wouldn't turn into a dead-end wall, right? Wouldn't that be better than the ding-dongs we have making the decisions now for us?
Absolutely. And if we can eliminate that bias, well, you know, automation, right? We need immutable results. You know, big fancy term for every time we deploy it, every time we create it, it's the same way. They use it in software development.
Right.
But that's kind of what we want. If we can get that, and through the monotony of human error, which does happen, we can eliminate that. I think it's great. I love cloud. I teach cloud. Right now, I am neck deep in modern endpoint administration concepts that we're creating.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, I always stick to the fact that we need a human behind the wheel.
Sure.
At some point, not those monotonous decisions, those repetitive tasks that bring in the human error.
Right.
But there does need to be, I think, an overseer.
And I have no issue with that. It's just if you take what you enumerated and applied it to politicians and applied it to governments, applied it to the things and the systems that are in place right now to run our lives and just how ridiculously flawed they are to such a degree. And then look at what the promise of AI could be. I mean, yes, it could be Skynet and we're all gone. Right. I understand that.
Right.
I'm not naive. And of course, Mr. Musk has said all this. And then what does he do? Creates an AI company. Is he the one? Is he the guy that's going to produce the better AI? I don't know.
Right. Call it irony.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Or it's him saying, I'll do one to your laid out ideals there. So I don't know. I am more hopeful about AI than afraid. That's just my feeling about it. It's going to displace a lot of people. I mean, you talked about even in teaching, right? You know, there was a story I read recently where college kids prefer AI tutors to real tutors. They just do. There's college courses that are going to be taught now with AI and not professors. So there's going to be instances where lots of displacement is going to occur. And to your point, it could be a 3D generation, a 3D image of Wes Bryan on the screen and the AI is talking, right? You've become a digital meat puppet, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We are kind of already doing it in avatars. Imagine AI driven behind an avatar that's already been created.
Right.
Most definitely. I absolutely love so far what I've been doing with some of the AI and some of the stuff that we've seen behind the scenes with it, especially some of the more advanced and sophisticated stuff that we've seen in RSA, which is just beyond me. I'm not even going to sit here and pretend to know half of the stuff that they were talking about. Just these massive real-time like attack simulations and stuff and predictive, you know, just there are things like predictive analysis, you know, historical information that's being fed into it. What can we do to it? What can we find and you know, that we can improve? So
Right. It's
definitely something that we're going to be looking at more and more. And I'm getting on board really early with it because, Good. You know, that's part of any technology, especially one that's going to stick around. You either stay on board or you get left behind.
Exactly. Well, Wes, we appreciate, believe it or not, this segment goes by so fast. If you want to hold on, we can try to take you at the bottom of the hour, but it's a bit of a time here. I may as well just talk about what's going on IT Pro TV real quick. Is there anything people should know?
Just remember at the end of the day, like we've talked about in many segments, you know, I still believe in the core foundation, of learning the technologies, learning, you know, what hands-on computers are, learning what the boards, you know, the hardware and stuff, learning what the networks do. Just remember that physical connections are always important. And I want to let you know that we have a new code. The code is more a code for me because IT Pro TV technically doesn't really exist anymore.
I know.
IT Pro ACI Learning. So they gave me a new code.
Yep.
And they said, use West 30. So any of your viewers out there that, again, you please, there are plenty of free things out there. Utilize YouTube. There are so many free things out there. I'm not trying to sell anything
here.
If you like what you see, use West 30. You can get a little bit of a discount.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, stay hungry. Keep learning. Keep studying. And just keep your hands on technology and treat it like a hobby. It's so fun.
Sounds good, Wes. And we'll put that updated link on our page over at computertalkwithtab.com.
Thank you now.
All right, Wes, thanks for checking in. Nice talking with you.
Yeah.
You too.
All right, see you next time.
Thanks, Wes.
All right, so, you know, Wes talking about AI and what's out there. Yes, it's going to make your hair hurt when it comes to what's going on with AI, but I think it's going to make our lives better. I'm hoping it is.
Yeah.
And we'll see how it goes. We'll step out for a quick break. Jim, Doug, and Lorraine, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. Get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us, and I'm sure Wes gave you a lot to think about. Let's go to Jim in Summers next. What's happening, Jim? Jim, you there?
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Great.
I got a question for you, and thank you for helping. So my wife went to go on to a website today, and it says not connecting to server, and we have the new Frontier thing downstairs, and I connected I wired it to an upstairs router, a Netgear Nighthawk. So just for kicks, I says, well, let's connect it to the upstairs one, and it worked fine. You know, the wireless upstairs, the names are different. They had the same password, though.
Right.
So I was wondering, should I know that if I want to have it automatically connect to the strongest signal, that I can give them both the same username and password. But I looked it up, and I it says I have to disable the DHCP server on router number 2 to prevent IP conflicts.
Yes.
And it's a whole sequence of stuff that I have to do, and I'm just wondering if it's worth it or not.
It's not. You should not have two. You should not have two routers in your network. Is what you're doing. It's a huge no. It's a huge no-no, and we see it all the time. It's really kind of silly. So it's silly in a business world, not in your world. So instead of putting a Nighthawk router, what you do is you go buy an access point, a wireless access point, and you just connect it to your Frontier box, and you'll use the same SSID. Because it's all part of the same network, and that'll solve your issue. And if you just bought the Nighthawk, you can return it. I hope.
No, I got it for nothing.
Oh, that's even better.
Oh, okay.
So go out and get what's called an access point. You don't need a router. You need a wireless access point to then connect to that wire you have up there, and it'll use the same SSID. And now you're all set.
How about one of those ubiquity flying saucer looking like things that go
definitely.
On the ceiling?
Those are awesome. Yeah, we recommend them.
Those things are smoking.
Okay.
Go get the flying saucer.
I have one of those.
All right, Jim.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Right.
All right, bye-bye. We do see too many people putting multiple routers in businesses all the time. It's like, what are you guys thinking? So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Stick around. Two lines open for you. You want to talk about AI? You know, did we make it nervous? Did we make it feel better? I don't know. 860-522-9842. Two lines open. Doug and Lorraine, hang on. We'll get to your calls. Everything we've talked about is posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. So if you do want to use the Bing AI to create your next work of art, you can just do it.
Yeah.
You can be unartistic like me and create a beautiful work of art. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. And this is the kind of thing you're going to hear in the park in Hartford this weekend for free.
Yeah.
So head on down to Hartford for the Jazz Fest and enjoy. Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to who's been on the longest. We're going to go to Doug in Middletown next. What's happening, Doug?
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
So I want to talk about encryption and get a better understanding of what that's doing for me. But before we go there, just a really quick story you might get a kick out of.
All right.
Back in 90 or 91, with my Tandy computer and floppy disks, looking at source code, I created a website to sell packaging. Hey, I found a place that would host it for me. And the first email I got was, "Get off the net, you capitalist pig." Can you imagine somebody being so offended that somebody's trying to sell something on the internet?
Yes, because it was created by the colleges. They were the ones that were the backbone of the internet.
It came from Berkeley.
Exactly. Well, good for you for being one of the first. Yes.
So my question about encryption.
Yeah.
I'm trying to really understand what that's exactly doing for me. I cut the cord from cable. I had to go say bye-bye to my Comcast email.
Yep.
I left it up for, a couple of months.
Yep.
And, with return and, go here for anybody that really cares about me.
Mm-hmm.
So I signed up for proton.me.
Good.
And I'm not really understanding what that's doing for me because John down the street sends me an email. It lands in Proton.
Yes.
I don't like their file folders because I'm not able to manipulate them.
Mm-hmm.
I probably have like 50 different folders for business and personal and shopping and gardening and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
So I had to create the bridge to go back to my Outlook program.
That's what I use.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So
what's it doing for you? Your biggest question is the biggest key here is what it's doing for you.
Okay.
And I'll give you my opinion, and Dennis probably has one too. But the biggest issue we're having these days is the bad guys are infiltrating our email. And then they're accessing any services we use with that email, right? Any correspondence you get from your attorney, any correspondence from your accountant, any correspondence from your business folks, if the bad guys are inside your email, is a bad thing. Now, with Proton and two-factor authentication, the whole thing is encrypted, meaning the bad guys could still trick you into getting into your email, don't get me wrong, but it's a lot harder for them to infiltrate or get into anybody's email system, especially the ones that's hosted at Proton in Switzerland, in that it's encrypted to the point where they don't have the key. Okay? So if they don't have the key, if they're hacked, right, which of course can happen, no one's going to say it can't be hacked. Even if they're hacked, your data is completely encrypted. So let's say there's a bad guy in Switzerland who worked with a bad guy in China, and the China guy pays him 1,000 Swiss francs and says, "Hey, give me access to Doug's email." Well, they can't do anything about it because you can't get access to the system. It's all encrypted.
So they can't grab something from John down the street coming in. The way they grab it is once it's already in.
When it's in your box, your box is safe.
Right.
John
is not safe. Also, the email is not safe while it's in transit.
Right.
Okay. But once it's in your mailbox and sitting there, then it's encrypted and it's part of that. And it's encrypted by a public-private key that's developed when you create your account. Mm-hmm. And not even the Proton people, at least from what I've been told, not even they can get into it.
Right. So
even when it goes across the bridge to my Outlook, is it still...
The bridge software that you're talking about,
yeah,
that is encrypted by TLS.
Right.
I think. Or it might even be a modified version of TLS that Proton came up with, but it is encrypted between your computer and theirs.
Now, if I walked up behind you and said at gunpoint and said, "Doug, log into your Outlook," guess what I have access to? Your email, right? Because I'm sitting here right behind you and I've got a gun to your head, and now you're logging in, and now I can read your email, right? So I need username and password and 2FA to get into your system. But the email itself is encrypted. So it reduces, we're not saying anything's foolproof, but it is a better way to secure your system than if you run email through your internet provider or Hotmail or Microsoft or you name it almost. The one benefit, again, not that you're doing anything wrong, is that this is in Switzerland, right? This is not dealing with anything in America. So you have the ability to feel even more secure because, again, those keys are not available to anybody but you. Now, of course, if there's something you are doing wrong, the feds can come to you and say, "Hey, where's your encryption keys?" And then you'd give them or you wouldn't, or you go to jail. All that fun stuff can happen depending on what they think is wrong with you. But the point is, it's a lot more difficult for to be swept up in anything because it's not in the United States. Right, so bad guys, the bad guys and the good guys cannot access your email, and that's called privacy.
So once it's parked on Proton, good luck trying to read my stuff.
Correct.
It would be pretty hard.
Yeah, but they could figure out who's sending and receiving mail. But again, you can use VPNs and all that fun stuff too.
Yeah, if you use like a VPN to connect to it, then it would be difficult for them.
Expressed VPN.
Okay.
And you can use Proton, too.
Proton has their own VPN, and you might even have a certain level of service with it with your account.
Right. So it's just going to be a better way to secure your life. It's harder for them to be. You don't want to be swept up in a Comcast email hack. Heck, we have stories here about Microsoft having their emails hacked and those keys made available, right? So there's a secretary. What was the secretary of Commerce?
Commerce, I think, and then another one. But I don't remember who it was.
Yeah, I mean, there's still plenty of ways for the bad guys to try to attack you, but this is a little harder.
Right, and don't
What's
think
hysterical?
That...
hysterical? Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, don't think there's anything as such thing as perfect security.
Right.
That's totally impenetrable. But this is another barrier for somebody to use to get into your mail. It's going to be pretty hard for them to do.
They're going to go for the low-hanging fruit. What were you going to say, Doug?
Okay, it's just kind of funny because it's been like 3 months since I canceled. And boy, that was a lot of fun to walk in with my equipment and say, goodbye.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I enjoyed that.
And they start sending me surveys. Why are you leaving? Why are you leaving? Anyway, I'm still getting emails on that account.
Yep. Eventually that'll stop, I would think.
I would, yeah.
They want to.
It'll die out.
And then they're going to say, hey, you can always pay us to have them if you want to have your emails.
Okay, it's always junk emails.
Right.
Well, again, I had the forwarding set up, so I
don't. Right. And you moved everything over to your new Proton email box now, so you're good to go. So, I think you're going to be less hackable. Nothing's perfect. You're just putting in some privacy that we all thought we had until we found out Google was reading our mail.
Right.
Understood. All right, guys, thanks.
You got it, sir.
Have a good afternoon.
You too. Bye. Bye-bye. That's the thing about this, right? We're not paranoid or anything. I'm not paranoid. Do you think me of paranoid there, Dennis?
Just a touch. And I am too, so.
It's just, we want privacy, right? We want the understanding that when we make whatever communications we're having with whatever professional organizations we're having them with, we want to know that it's private. Now, when it lands on their servers, though, like if I send an email to Dennis and he's not part of Proton, let's say, then it's not secure.
Right.
Now that email
can be
read.
Found.
Yeah. And you can create secure email if you want to do encrypted email between third parties. You can do that.
Yeah.
That just slows things down and causes other issues.
Right.
But definitely worth checking out. get yourself an encrypted account. Just to get one more call in here. Who's been on the longest? Lorraine has been on there forever in Madison. What's happening, Lorraine?
Hey, thank you so much, gentlemen, for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
I feel I have a layup for you after AI and encryption.
okay.
I need a new printer, and I was just wondering what you recommend. This is for home use, nothing fancy, just a basic printer.
Well, a lot of people at home or just a few people?
Just a few.
All right. Color or not color?
You know, I always have color options, but I tend to never use it. So
Okay. Probably, yeah,
I'll go with color, I guess.
Even though you tend to never use it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it might be nice from time to time, I suppose.
Okay, well, I was going to angle toward a cheap black and white laser printer before you said that.
I would.
Why don't you tell me both, black and white laser?
You should be able to find a cheap black and white laser printer at Staples for like $250.
Yeah.
I mean,
easily.
The toner might cost you another $50.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no.
And you will have to buy another toner cartridge right away because the starter cartridge that's in there will only crank out 50 pages, if that.
Right. But a black and white laser should last you years and years and years and years and years. And even the toner, once you buy the real cartridge, will last you
It'll
years
last
too.
You forever, yeah.
If you want to do... go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, is there a special model? I mean, a name?
HP would be. Yeah, I'd have you deal with HP first. If you can find an HP black and white laser in that price range that's available. The models change all the time. I'm sure we can look one up. But
they do. Yeah. And you would want to avoid what they call HP Plus because you will not be able to set up that printer and use it until you have created an HP Cloud account.
Right.
And then authenticated that printer with it. Just avoid anything that has HP and then plus sign right after it.
Yeah.
Okay. But there will be other models that are not that type.
Right.
So I'm not telling you not to get HP.
No.
Just don't get that.
Right. No, I appreciate
and
that.
And then for color, look at the EcoSmart color inkjet printers.
Yeah, by Epson.
Epson, yeah. And they'll give you a lot of life as well.
There's another option for color printing, which would be not to get a color printer at all. Just have the black and white one in your house. And if you need to do any color printing, take it to Walmart, maybe even Walgreens or Staples.
Yep.
And you just have them print off, color copies of something if it needs to be in color. And it's going to seem expensive, but if you add up all the money that you spend to print these things and then compare it to the cost of a decent color inkjet and then the price of the ink, you're going to make out. You are.
Okay.
And you're going to get a better result than you would from a home color inkjet because some of them are just not that great.
Right.
Especially when you're trying to print photos.
No, see, I won't be doing that. I take them down to CVS and print them out from there.
Well, bingo. That's what I'm talking about. Using somebody else to do that for you.
Okay. So, get a black and white laser.
Yeah.
Then black and white laser. And you recommend the HP for that, as long as it's not a plus.
You got it.
Or the Epson, if I decide to go with with a color.
Epson Echo Tank is what you're looking for.
Echo Tank.
Eco, if you want to be specific.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. You've been very helpful. I've called before, and you've always come through for me. So I appreciate your help.
Our pleasure. You're welcome, Lorraine. Thank you.
Enjoy.
All right.
Yep. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. We'll step out for a quick break. We'll get right back. This is Computer Talk.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Let's get right to your calls before we're at the top of the hour. Coming in at 11 o'clock would be Dr. Alessi with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. Stick around for that. Let's go to Jan, I guess, in New Britain. She's been on the longest. What's happening, Jan?
Hi. Thanks for taking...
You're breaking
up. I'm breaking up. Okay. Yeah. My phone. It seems like everything is breaking up. I have a note. There's something with the phone, too, and I just bought a brand new one. Probably with the connection here. Anyways, my computer's saying to me that we can't fix your account here. I haven't opened it up in like 2 months at least.
Uh-huh.
Not good.
So you're trying to log into your Dell computer?
Yeah. And it's saying we can't... We can't log you in. You have to go to accountmicrosoft.com. And I started that with my phone, but I didn't finish it. Any suggestion?
Yeah. So, Dennis, this is one of those things where her Microsoft account is the issue, correct?
Yes. Yeah. You're probably going to have to do exactly what they say, which is to go to account.microsoft.com. And I'm not entirely sure what the issue is. I'm looking right now at Microsoft's own support pages about this.
Mm-hmm.
They have several
probably
different...
an account recovery, right?
Yeah, it's well, let's see.
Did you type in the right password, Jan?
Oh, that's another thing. Before I forgot my password on my phone, it's fine because it's already in there.
Mm-hmm.
But on my computer, it was in there for a while, but probably because I haven't opened it, it's gone. And I thought I put it on. I put it on the sticky pad on my computer, but it's not working.
Yeah, so it's right there on the computer. All right. So yes, yeah. you probably forgot your password.
My guess as to what happened is, she logged in wrong,
right,
and now the account is locked,
right.
And they want to go through a recovery process with her,
right, to confirm you are who you say you are,
right. But independently of that computer, because they're considering that computer compromised until they know differently,
right.
That's why you have to go to some other device or some other computer, log into your account at account.microsoft.com, just like they said. And it may even tell you we need to recover your account. It may make you go through setting a new password.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure what the process will be once you start it. Okay. That I can't predict. But I think that's what happened. That's the scenario here.
Yeah, it's not going to be fun doing it on your phone, I'll tell you.
No. You want to get on somebody else's computer and do it.
Yeah.
Or go to a library or something like that and do it there.
That's my thought, is to go to the library, because we even get a lousy signal where I work, believe it or not. So I go to the library, hook up with them,
yep,
and then they can even help me go through this terrible process, which it's probably not going to be that great, but
you'll get through it.
You'll get through it.
What doesn't kill us makes us stronger, Jane.
It'll take a few steps. I actually assisted someone with a similar issue maybe a couple of years ago, and it took like 15 or 20 minutes to go through the whole thing.
Yeah,
but it worked.
It's doable.
Yeah.
But it is a pain. You just want to run your computer, right?
Yeah, and you're definitely going to want like a smartphone or something, because they may try to do a validation through that too.
Right, 2FA. So,
yeah, they have done. They've tried to send me a message and whatnot, and when I tried to start this, but I hit the wrong key, whatever, and I erased it. So it's bad on me. But
okay.
So I think my library is going to be my best bet.
Yep. You need access to a PC. It'll make it easier for you.
Right. Okay.
All right,
Jan. I appreciate everything. Thanks.
Our pleasure. Good luck.
Yeah, have a nice weekend.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, guys. I want to thank all of you for joining in on this Saturday morning. So, sorry, Dylan, Kate, we're not going to get to your calls. Maybe give us a ring next Saturday, and we'll do our best for you. I want to thank Carolyn for producing, Mike G for posting everything on our Twitter and Facebook feeds. Dennis is, of course, posting everything over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. And, of course, check out the Hartford Jazz Fest going on this weekend. All the bumps you heard were from artists that are supposed to be showing up there. Hopefully it doesn't rain. We're looking forward to that.
And remember, we need you to be geeks, too.
See you guys next Saturday. And thanks, Wes Bryan, too, for joining us.
Yeah.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.